The Lord. Okay, am I on? Yeah. Can you hear me? Yeah? Good. You'd hear me without the microphone, trust me. Okay. So if we look to the screen, there's a couple of scriptures that you might want to find in your Bibles this morning. Mark chapter 8, 34 to 35. John chapter 14, verses 4 to 5. Maybe you've got your Bible on a device. Maybe you've got a paper version. There should be some in the backs of the seats if you haven't brought one with you. So just feel free to find those verses. We're not really going to dig down too deep into them today. We're just going to use them as a bit of a point out of which to say a few things this morning. So if you've been here for the last couple of weeks, you'll know that we've been looking at this theme of getting closer to God. And so originally I only intended to do one sermon, but after consulting the congregation, we've now ended up with a part two and a part three. And so the first week we were looking at, particularly in Hebrews, James, those different places that talk about us drawing near to God. And so in that first week we particularly looked at how it is Jesus and only through the Lord Jesus Christ that any person can get close to God, amen? There is only one God who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. All other gods are false, all other gods are idols. There is only one way to get to the one true living God, and that is through the Lord Jesus Christ, who himself said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and nobody comes to the Father except through me, amen? Words of Jesus himself, and so that is what we believe here in this place. Last week we looked at spiritual disciplines and the activities of the church, the core activities, not exhaustive by the way, just the kind of key main things that we should expect to see in any church community. We looked at Acts chapter 2 when the early church began to gather together, and we looked at the kind of things that we might expect to do together, engaging together, that might get us closer to God, draw us closer to God when we gather together as a whole congregation. And so today we're looking at this theme of getting closer to God, but in our everyday lives. So when we're not gathered together and we go through those doors back into the rest of our everyday lives, whatever that looks like for us, whoever we're with, whatever work we're doing, study, whatever it looks like, what are we doing that enables us to get closer to God? That's what kind of we're looking at today. I'm going to preach a little bit differently today because it's going to be quite practical. Got some practical kind of hints and tips and stuff like that. The majority of them have come from your feedback as a congregation. And so let us read together Mark chapter 8, 34 to 35. And so his scripture says this. Then he called the crowd to him, along with his disciples, and said, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me and for the gospel will save it. And then John 14, verses 4 and 5, which we came to in week one of this series. Jesus says, remain in me as I also remain in you. And so Jesus there is saying, stay close. Amen. You know, sometimes we can feel like we're drifting. Amen. But Jesus wants us to stay close, to remain in him. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. And so let us pray together this morning. Father, we thank you for this word. We thank you, Father, that as we gather together this morning, we have an opportunity to be blessed and encouraged, yet challenged by your word. And so, Father, we ask that as your word goes out in this place this morning, that it would not return void, but that it would accomplish every last little thing that you have set it forth to do. Lord, we pray that as we hear the word and we receive it, as it is planted and watered, that you would bring the growth in every person that hears it. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. The clickers stop working, so you're going to have to follow. It shouldn't be overly difficult this morning. And so when we think about Mark 8, John 14, we understand a couple of really basic things about the teachings of Jesus. The first one is this: Jesus wants the whole of our lives. Amen. He doesn't just want your Sunday morning. He doesn't just want whatever it is that you put in the offering on a Sunday morning. He doesn't just want you signing up to one particular point of service in the life of the church. He doesn't just want a 5-minute prayer here or there or a quick reading of scripture. Jesus wants the whole of your life, amen? Why don't we say that together? Jesus wants the whole of my life. Jesus wants the whole of your life, amen? And so that's the first thing to note. The second thing to note is Jesus wants us to be connected to him at all times. Jesus wants us to be connected to him at all times. And doesn't that make sense given the fact that Jesus wants the whole of our lives? Amen. As Christian disciples, there is no shut-off point. There is no closing the door on one section of our lives to Jesus. The door needs to be open to every single aspect of our lives, amen? And that is how it is, the whole of our lives. And so particularly on Thursday for the general election, anything that I would want to say to any Christians is not don't vote or do vote or anything like that, but whatever you do, whatever decision you make on Thursday for that general election, what I was saying to people is, do not leave out your discipleship in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because Jesus wants the whole of our lives. He wants us to remain close to him at all times. And so, even in a general election, when we're voting, our discipleship comes into play, amen? Our view of Jesus, our view of the Word of God, who we are in Christ, comes into play for every single decision that we make, for everything that we say, everything that we think, because this is whole life discipleship and worship, amen? And so let us think about a typical week in the life of any person. There are 168 hours in a week. Did you know that? Sounds like a lot, doesn't it? But we probably sleep for most of that, apart from people like Moses and new parents like Catherine, amen? And so 168 hours in a week. 1.5 to 2 hours a week is the average time that you will probably spend here on a Sunday morning, amen? For many of you, if you're not serving midweek in the life of the church, if you're not attending a prayer group or something else that's going on, then you're here in the church or involved with the church in a very kind of physical, practical way, up to 2 hours a week on a Sunday morning. And so there are 166 hours in the week where we are doing other things, amen? And so we might be sleeping. There's the children's activities to take care of. There's working. There's leisure time. And everybody said together, what is this thing that you refer to as leisure time? There doesn't seem to be much of it nowadays, amen? Cooking, cleaning, washing, visiting family and friends, trying to keep fit, shopping, trying to keep up with appointments and house maintenance and getting the car MOT'd and serviced, etc., etc., etc. That sounds familiar to me. Does it sound familiar to you as your life? Yeah, some of us may have a little bit more leisure time than others, but essentially that is what life can be like, amen? And so the point is that we cannot reduce our closeness and our connection to God to 2 hours on a Sunday morning. Amen? We must not and we cannot do that very thing. Gathering together, attending a church service or a small group cannot and should not be the only time in which we are seeking to get closer to God. Amen? It cannot be the only time. Otherwise, the fruit that we are producing for Christ will be very, very minimal at best. And so we go back to the 2 points from these scriptures. Jesus wants the whole of our lives. Jesus wants us to be connected to Him, to be close to Him at all times. And so I want to say 3 very specific things to you this morning and to give you some practical things to think about. Now, for some of you sitting in the room and for some of you who are listening online, some of these things are just things that you do. I acknowledge that because I understand a lot about most of you and how you're getting close to God. Lots of you responded to the survey that we did recently. But for some of you, you've only just come to faith, amen? So we're going to celebrate with Lisa, Dean and Luke. They're sitting on the balcony up there. Next Sunday, recently came to faith. We're going to baptize them on Sunday. Maybe for them, this might be some new things as part of their discipleship that they're hearing. So we must acknowledge, before I say these 3 things, that we're all in different places, amen? But we can always make moves in our lives to be closer to God, regardless of what we're doing. And so the first thing that I think that every Christian must have is this, is to establish a daily rhythm of prayer, amen? Does anybody agree with that? We must establish a daily rhythm of prayer. And that will look different for every person, but I think a very basic thing about our discipleship is that we learn how to pray and we establish a rhythm of prayer in our lives. The foundation of which can begin with a daily time and place, or a set daily time and place. And so Matthew 6:6, but when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. Praise the Lord. And so Jesus here is encouraging us to have a space, to have a place where we have designated it for the purpose of prayer. Amen? And where we are intentional about going to that place and praying to our Father in heaven. And so Jesus himself did this at different times of the day in all kinds of different places. But it says in Mark 1:35 that Jesus was praying very early in the morning. In John 6:15-16, it tells us that Jesus pretty much started in the afternoon and prayed late into the evening. It was a long time of prayer for Jesus on that particular occasion. And so a very practical thing that I think we all need to do as part of our discipleship, if you haven't yet done it already, is to establish a place, especially in your home, where you can go on a daily basis to engage with the Lord in prayer. Amen? Praise the Lord. And many of you are doing this already. And so it could be a room, it could be a particular chair where you sit. And so if you come into our living room, it is well known that the first chair on the left is my chair. Okay? Elijah likes to cheekily run up, jump in it, and claim that he's now sitting in my chair. Okay? But I have a designated chair. Laura has a designated double settee, actually, not just a chair. What am I to make of that? It could be a particular space where you can sit, or if you're like me and you don't like to be confined to a chair, a place where you can pace around as you pray. Maybe it could be a place where you can kneel down or lie down before the Lord in your prayers. Maybe you want to keep a Bible in that place. So you may have many Bibles. If you come to our house, you're going to see that in every room of our house is a Bible. If you go to the toilet in our house, you can read the Bible. If you go to the kitchen and you're cooking, whilst you're waiting for the food, you can read a Bible. Everywhere in our house, there is a Bible. But in this particular place, maybe you want to keep a Bible there. Keep a pen and a notepad there. Always these things stay there, otherwise things get lost, don't they? Keep your daily devotional copy in that place or something that you use to engage in word and prayer. Very practical thing that we can do. But the second thing is this. Because prayer goes with the word, amen. We've got to marry the two together. They go alongside one another. And so the second thing to do is establish a daily rhythm of engaging with the word of God. If you want to do some homework reading when you go away today, note down the three scriptures there. They're not exhaustive, but they're three really helpful scriptures that if you read them, you're going to see the worth of establishing a daily rhythm of engaging with the word of God. You're going to see some great descriptions by David about the word of God and what it does for us, and you're going to see how the word of God can be used in different contexts. And so let's hear from this now. So engaging with the word can also begin with a daily time and place. So your prayer place can be your word place too. Amen? Your prayer place can be your word place too. And so somewhere you can read or listen to or hear from, meditate on, study, memorize the word of God. Often we always talk about reading the word of God, don't we? You might hear things, oh, you must read the word of God, you must read this and you must read that. But actually, the word of God is also good to listen to from time to time, amen? I wonder if you've ever thought to sit in a chair at home and hit play on the Bible app and just listen to the word of God rather than read. We don't always have to be reading the word of God. And in fact, think about it like this. Whenever the letters of the New Testament were received by the churches, every individual would not sit down and read the letter. Somebody would be a spokesperson and they would read out the word of God to the whole church. They were listening people in the early church. Psalm 1 verses 1 to 3. Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. And so for us today, the law would be the word of God, the Holy Bible. Amen. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. So a fantastic example from the word of God to show us the worth of establishing a daily rhythm of engaging with the word of God. We become people who flourish. If we're not in the word of God, and I've known this in my own life, because I'm on a journey as well, amen? That if we're not in the word of God regularly, and especially daily, we don't flourish as much as we might do. Amen? Sometimes when we pray, sometimes when we read and we listen to the word of God, we may just feel like it feels a bit regular and mundane. But although we feel like that, that is not the reality of the word of God and prayer when we engage with it. Amen? How many times have you prayed and read the word of God, and all of a sudden in a day or even weeks later, you remember the scripture and it's been useful to you at the time? This is the way the word of God. Even when we're not fully invested in the word of God as we read it, the word of God is certainly invested in us. Do you understand what I mean this morning? Praise the Lord. And so more benefits of engaging with the Word of God in those scriptures. And there are a wealth of resources in this day and age that can help us engage with Word and with prayer. We are in the most resourced time that the Christian church has ever known. We have the internet. We have Christian bookshops. We have technology. We have all kinds of things whereby we can resource ourselves for word and prayer activities. And so you may remember that I asked a question a couple of weeks ago. So I sent it on email. I sent it on WhatsApp. I asked a few people face to face. And this was the question. What resources or disciplines or methods do you currently use to help you to get closer to the Lord God? And I'm going to read very quickly the responses related to prayer and words. And so for prayer, daily morning online prayers, speaking in tongues when I pray, kneeling every morning to say the Lord's Prayer, praying with my spouse or my children, or just praying with my spouse, praying before I start work or before I sit down to study. How many of you ever thought to do that in your life? Involving God in that particular part of your day. Praying and meditating on scripture when I am walking somewhere. Okay? Praying different kinds of prayer as needed. So asking him questions, giving him thanks, praying for his blessing, praying for his help, praying for his favor in the small mundane tasks, as well as for strength to be refreshed when one's own is on full stretch. Setting daily phone alarms to pray for specific things. And so a very common one that I do, which I actually got from a couple in the church, is that every day my alarm goes off at 3:16 p.m. and I pray for salvation for family, friends, and anybody else that comes to mind. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever shall believe in him shall not perish, but shall have everlasting life. So 3:16 every day. Another alarm I set is every day at 5:08 p.m. Romans 5:8. But whilst we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And it reminds me to just give gratitude and thanks in prayer at that certain time. Bible reading and study. People responded in these ways. Daily devotionals that they read alongside scripture. Fresh from the Word, UCB notes, Our Daily Bread. Loads of you are using Our Daily Bread as a resource. Every Day with Jesus, the YouVersion Holy Bible app, Lectio 365 app, the Bible with Nikki and Pippa Gumbel app, so you can get a Bible in 1 year, or you can do the youth version, or just slowly reading the Bible without a set reading plan. Because set reading plans are not for everybody, amen? But they are very helpful. Reading various different translations. Reading and using a study Bible, Life Application Bible, ESV study Bible, the Life Builder Series study books, character study books, word studies that take you around the Bible and into looking into the original language and meaning of the Hebrew and the Greek words, following a trail of revelation. And there are some great apps that you can use to get the original language meanings. Fasting alongside prayer. Reading Christian books about prayers and family and Christian life and all of these different things. And I really like this one. Keeping a calendar with daily prayers and Bible quotes in my kitchen and on my desk at work. So every time this person goes to sit down at the desk at work, they have a reminder of the Word of God that they can engage with. When they're cooking in the kitchen, they can look at the calendar and they've got a reminder of the Word of God that they can engage with. Really simple things, isn't it, that can get us closer to God in any given moment of any given day. So they were your responses. So far, establishing a daily rhythm of prayer and engaging with the Word of God. And I think this is probably the really important one for our day and age. Number three. Incorporate spiritual activities and disciplines of a Christian nature, of course. I don't want you going off to yoga classes or interfaith prayer or something like that. incorporate spiritual activities or disciplines into the ordinariness of everyday life. I wonder for how many of you that this is a new revelation of something that you can do. You know that you're not just restricted to getting closer to God when you come here for 2 hours on a Sunday. Yes? We must be engaging 7 days a week. Nicky Gumbel, in fact, on the daily Bible reading plan, on the app, the Bible with Nicky and Pippa Gumbel, on day 3 of the Bible in a year plan that they do, this is what he says. Walking, for whatever reason, is more enjoyable with someone else. Walking and talking is a great way to communicate with family, friends, and also with God. The point is that we are doing two things at the same time. We are not just taking exercise or traveling. As we walk together, we are in communion with one another. Both Enoch and Noah walked with God. So Genesis 5 and 6. They didn't just sit, kneel, or stand with God, the kind of actions that we would often associate with spending time with God. But they were also in communion with God when doing something else. How many things do you do in a day where you think you could become more conscious of God as you do those things? I think that applies to all of us, amen? While you are doing other things, working, eating, exercising, or relaxing, you can be in communion with God at the same time. End quote. And so here's the thing. We absolutely have our established places of prayer and word, amen? But let us not be limited by them. Let us not think that when I come to church on a Sunday morning, that's where I do my God stuff. When I go and sit in my chair at home, that's where I do my God stuff. When I'm in my living room, in my designated place of prayer and word, that's where I do my God stuff and nowhere else. Let's not think like that. Let's involve God and get closer to Him in every single aspect of our lives. Important stuff. Jesus prayed in various different locations at different times of the day. Did you know that? In Luke 3:21, as he's been baptized, Jesus prays in the river. How many of you have prayed in a river before? How many may convert that into praying in the bath or the shower? Amen? Luke 6:12, Jesus prayed on a mountainside. Matthew 26:36-46, he prayed in a garden. How many have ever just sat in the garden and just spent some time with the Lord in the garden? Not even necessarily doing anything, just enjoying the creation of God. The eunuch in Acts chapter 8 was reading the word of God in his chariot on the way back to Ethiopia and ended up having a deep Bible study with Philip the evangelist, where he told him that this guy that Isaiah is talking about is in fact the risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And the guy came to faith and said, oh, there's some water. What is stopping me from being baptized? So he's reading the word of God as he's traveling, as he's on the move, and he encounters the Lord and the salvation of the Lord. Amen. So let us not underestimate the everydayness of our lives and the impact that we can have on people for God. There are so many ordinary, mundane, daily activities in our everyday lives where even then we can be getting closer to God. And so I wonder what that might be for you. Let me give you some brief examples as we come towards the end. What about your desk at work? If you have a desk at work, how could that be a place where you get closer to God? We've heard about having a scripture calendar on your desk at work that you can engage with. What that might do is that when you see it, you'll read the scripture and it might cause you just to engage just for a moment with the Lord in prayer. Amen? But what could you do? Maybe before you start sending emails or doing whatever on a day, you might think, let me just stop and just pray. Before you see a patient, oh, let me just stop and pray. Before you care for that person that you're looking after, oh, let me just stop and pray. Or pray as you go. You see how this works? We can commune with God. The staff room at work as you take a break. The car when you're driving. Amazing place to connect with God. Sometimes you'll see me driving down the road and I've got two hands in the air and none on the steering wheel because I'm praising the Lord. How many of you believe that? It has happened. Don't hold it against me. Standing at the school gates waiting for the kids to come out. Walking around a park or the community where you live. Before a meal. By the bedside in the morning or before you get in it after a long, busy, stressful day. What about when you're washing up the pots after dinner or you're loading the dishwasher? What about when you're cooking, cleaning, washing, waiting in the car for the kids to finish their activities? There are so many times in our day where we subconsciously forget about God when we could actually make an effort to draw closer, amen? So a practical tip. It's in a lot of those moments where we can make good use of our devices and of the technology that is at our fingertips. And so I'll give you a few examples. Two things to say very quickly. I say good use of our devices because there's a bad use of our devices, amen? We won't go into some examples, but I'm sure the Holy Spirit is telling you where you might be going wrong right now. And don't become over-reliant on them, because they may not always be there, amen? But they are very useful if we can use them properly. So if you've got a tablet, if you've got a smartphone, if you've got a smart TV or a Freeview box where you can get Christian TV channels or access to YouTube or something like that, if you've got a smart speaker like an Echo speaker from Amazon, all the time when I'm preparing dinner, when I'm loading the dishwasher, doing a mundane thing in the kitchen, we all do this, don't we? What you'll hear is me saying, Alexa, play Christian praise and worship. And then all of a sudden a playlist of Christian praise and worship just happens. Or Alexa, connect to iPhone. I hit play and I'm listening to a sermon from a podcast. Or nothing and just quietly praying as I'm getting really fed up at putting the 100th dish in the dishwasher. Yeah? We all understand what I'm saying this morning, I think. Praise the Lord. Utilize the technology. The car radio. Emails. You could subscribe to daily devotionals that come straight to your inbox. WhatsApp. Did you know that as a church we frequently use WhatsApp? So we have a news and notices group. We have an encouragement group that you can become part of. All of these things help us to draw closer to God. Various social media platforms that you can access with loads of different things on there, isn't there? And even when I ask the question to the congregation, what resources, disciplines or methods do you use to help you get closer to God? A lot of you said that you listen to podcasts. Every smartphone you can get podcast apps and you can access Christian speakers and teaching. So in fact, as a church, we have an Apple podcast or you can access the podcast on the website. If you just go on a general podcast and look for Christian stuff, there's a wide range of speakers and teachers. You can get interview, testimony style talks, preaching, debating, encouraging stuff, topical stuff, thought-provoking Christian material that could get you closer to God at any given point of the day. Sung praise and worship, loads that you can find. Old, new, in the middle, different styles. You can find it on all of these things. And so as we finish, let me ask three questions. Do you need to establish a daily rhythm of prayer? Do you need to establish a daily rhythm of prayer? And do you need to establish a place or a space in your home or wherever it is that you're staying or in a place where you spend a lot of time, do you need to establish a place and a space there for prayer? And if so, how will you do it? That's your action point today. How are you going to do some of these things? Just to say, there is a sign-up sheet here, which will be out in the Connect area for the new prayer groups that we've launched. We now have over 50 people praying together every month in the life of the church, and you can become part of one of those groups. We spoke about this last week. They're in geographical areas, and so if you're interested, just put your name, the area where you live, and whether you're happy to host or not. And over the coming weeks, we're going to look to slot people into different groups or establish new groups, okay? So if that's you, there's a sign-up sheet here. Maybe that's one way that you can begin to engage in prayer. Do you need to establish a daily rhythm of engaging with the Word? If so, how will you do it? Perhaps for some of us, it might mean that we go beyond a daily devotional and we begin to incorporate some deeper Bible study into the Word element of our week. Could you incorporate spiritual activities or disciplines into the ordinariness of life? So whether that's making good use of technology or making good use of those precious moments of silence or just trying to be more conscious of God in the things that you're doing every day. You know, it was because of a consciousness of God, and this doesn't always play out this way, it was because of a consciousness of God and an attentiveness to the voice of the Holy Spirit that when I was in the shop on Friday and I felt the Lord was speaking to me to share the gospel with that lady, it was because there was a consciousness of God there, amen? And God will do that with all of us. He wants us to do those things, to share our faith, especially in the ordinariness of life and not just from platforms, amen? And so I wonder what you might need to do as a result of this morning. We're going to go into a time of communion. And so that gives me a good opportunity to say that communion is not just for when you come here on a Sunday. Amen? Jesus never said, only do it when you gather together on a Sunday morning. What he said was, is do this in remembrance of me. And he's given us the most simplest elements of bread and wine or juice that we can use, that especially in this country we will probably all have access to, where on any given day, whether it's we sit down for a meal at home and we include communion, or whether as a husband and wife you just take 5 minutes to share bread and wine together, get the kids involved. Communion can be done outside of a church building, amen? And it can be administered by somebody who doesn't have the title of pastor, because it's the believer's meal. Amen? And not the meal of any given institution or organization. And so communion is a great way in the everydayness of life where you can just sit down, bread and wine, remember the death of Christ with gratitude, thankfulness, confess your sin, yet remember his coming again, because it's a meal of hope as well, amen? And it's a prophetic meal. But we're going to do it together now. I just wanted to sow that seed. And if you do join one of the prayer groups, one of the key elements of any of those prayer groups is that every time you meet, you should be taking communion together. Because what communion does is it centers us around Jesus and focuses us on him. Very, very simple, isn't it? And so if you're here this morning and you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he's your Lord and your Savior, then join in with us this morning for communion, receiving the bread and the wine.